July 21st, 2007, you're listening to Nowhere Mulberry, episode 85!
You did the right thing by calling us. Does your brother sleep a lot?
Yeah, all day.
Does the sunlight freak him out?
He wears sunglasses in the house.
Bad breath, long fingernails.
Yeah, his fingernails are all a bit longer. He always had bad breath, though.
He's a vampire, all right.
All right, here's what you do.
Get yourself a good, sharp stake and drive it right through his heart.
I can't do that. He's my brother.
Okay, we'll come over and do it for you.
No!
You better get yourself a garlic t-shirt, buddy, or it's your funeral.
I'm gonna separate your head from your shoulders. Hope you don't mind none.
Let me do it, Jesse.
Let me tap dance on it, won't you? It'll be so good.
Do it fast.
All right.
Good times roll.
Woo!
No! Him?
What the fuck is going on?
Ain't what's going on, son. It's what's coming off. Your face. Clean off.
Once, pal. Death by stereo.
What you people want?
Just a couple more minutes of your time, about the same duration as the rest of your life.
Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Once again, thank you for joining us. I hope you liked last week, but
This week, even better. Right, Steven, the pop culture zealot here to my left?
You know it.
How are you doing, sir? Great
Excellent.
Week?
Excellent.
Great.
Excelente. Just glad to get out of those darn dust storms in Arizona.
Wow, and then you come here to
I was in I go from desert monsoons to this, to heat humidity.
And what about you, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian? How's the weather where you're at?
I'm fantastic, and the weather is beautiful. 74, it's got a nice breeze, clear skies, beautiful day.
That sounds nice. You know what was weird is yesterday it was really nice. It was like nice and breezy.
You had a little rain in the morning, didn't you?
Yeah, it like cooled the world off.
Yeah, I flew in, and as I was flying in there, you know, we were hitting the old turbulence from the storm.
The old turbulence?
The old turbulence.
Ah, the dreaded turbulence.
It rocks me to sleep like everything else.
When you're riding on a plane, do you ever look over and you have the stereotypical person who's like, oh God, and you're
the lady who was sitting next to me, she was sitting there and her legs were shaking the whole time. I thought she was tweaking or something, you know?
Every movie or TV show, and there's some kind of plane, you look over and go, hey, first time flying, don't worry, it's not so bad.
Well, she,
you know, this is safer than
she
driving.
She worked for the airline. I was like, that made it even worse.
You missed a golden opportunity.
Steven thinks he has a meth addict sitting next to him on the plane.
She works for the airline and she's a meth addict.
Yes.
Good Lord.
She was shaking so bad, it was like, you know, we were sitting, there was a seat between us, and there was nobody sitting there.
What you do is like, you do
the just sitting there, and the whole seat was shaking. It was just like, Jesus,
just to calm her down, do the Matrix from the Commander, where you lean forward to fluff up your pillow, and go, wham, elbow her right in the head, knock her unconscious.
Well, I was leaning forward, as I normally do, to start falling asleep, and...
Leaning forward to fall asleep?
If I
fall asleep with your head on the tray table?
Kind of.
Oh. No, on the clay table.
On the clay table. No, I put my elbows up and I put my head down.
You're on DC-9.
Yeah, if I fall asleep sitting up, you know, or kind of, you know, leaning over against the wall, I start snoring really loud. So I try to be nice and I lean forward.
I think you start snoring anyway, you lay.
Well, no.
It's worse.
Has
anyone ever said, sir, could you please stop or anything like that?
No, we landed once, and there was supposed to be a guy, the flight was kind of empty, and the guy moved up that was supposed to be sitting right next to me, and he goes, as we land, he goes, mate, if I'd have sat next to you that time, I'd have cut your tongue out.
What? Wow.
Because I was snoring so loud. I mean, there was like four rows on either side, and I stood up, and they're like, oh my God, was that you?
Shut up!
Some lady was like, yeah, my son snores like that. He's got a sleeping disorder. You need to go have that checked by a doctor. Like,
I hope
wow,
he's burning
so
hell.
More than just me and Jason are telling you to get yourself checked.
No, I already knew it.
What about the Breathe Right strips? Do those work? Or
no.
You don't
I've tried that,
public, so.
that de-snore, whatever you spray in your throat, it made it, like, worse. Way worse.
What is that supposed to do?
It numbs everything.
Oh, it numbs everything. Okay.
What this does, it kind of dries your mouth out. It dried mine out really bad. It's supposed to, like, help the little area in the back, the little flap, stick up so it doesn't rattle when you breathe.
Right.
The only way Steven's going to be able to sleep soundly is if he goes and gets a CPAP machine.
What's that?
That's the machine for sleep apnea, where it blows a constant stream of air, and you know it keeps your windpipe open so you won't snore.
But
and
you
all
can
that
wear
stuff.
That on an airplane, though.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, there's battery units that you just put on your little nose thing. And
have you ever seen
fall
anyone
asleep.
Wearing those on a plane?
No.
Steven would be the only one.
I'd be the only.
What's the longest airplane flight you've been on? Like, have you been
to
on?
Hawaii?
Was that like 8 hours?
It was flew from here to San Diego, and San Diego over there, and it was like 5.5 hours.
San Diego to Hawaii.
To Hawaii, yeah.
Wow.
And then
I guess
in Alaska, going to Alaska, I think I was on there for like eight hours to Alaska.
Wow. Yeah, I find it. I'd probably sleep in that instance, but it's really hard to get me to sleep if I'm not laying down. I can't. Sleep in a car. I can't sleep on a plane sitting up or anything.
If you fly as much as I do, I mean, really, I'm on a plane every week.
Yeah, I'd get used to it.
You're going to get used to it.
Yeah. At this point, the engine noise doesn't even register.
The engine noise itself helps lull me to sleep. Yeah.
If they're like, we're going to experience turbulence, they're like, all right, rock me to sleep, baby. Now, guys, this week some big news. I know we really honestly don't care about the Emmy Awards, but we said it all during the regular season of shows that we like, Bill, like this better get an Emmy nomination or this person better get an Emmy nomination, because when you see someone in a role who defines that role and they're so good, you're like, wow, they just raised the show up to a new level kind of thing. They deserve it, I would think.
Yeah.
Two people that we kept saying that about was Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights. And yeah, the list of Emmy nods came out, and they didn't get any nods.
No, and who got nods was like, what? Why?
Okay, actor in a drama, we got Gandolfini, which I love Tony Soprano. He's done better before.
Yeah.
But how often do you guys see this happen where a show that goes away gets all the awards? Like, oh, they're gone. We got to give them some.
Yeah.
Hugh Laurie for House. Eh. Well, I mean, sure. I mean, he's fine, but he's always the same character. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Dennis Leary for Rescue Me. I would almost say that previous seasons. I don't know. I mean, James Spader.
Is this for season three?
I guess so, the last season. Not this season now, of course, but earlier. James Spader, he's good on that show, I guess. Kiefer Sutherland for 24. I don't think 24
deserves...
That's
a wrong category.
Yeah, 20...
He should not...
Comedy,
should
right?
Not, well, yeah, Boston Legal is a comedy.
That's what it seems like to me. It's kind of like a quirky... Quirky. They need that category. Quirky.
A quirky
best
comedy.
Actor, quirky series.
Yeah, and Kiefer Sutherland, I love Kiefer, but I don't think 24 should be rewarded for anything this season.
No, that's a freaking joke.
Okay,
you know what's going to Gandolfini for it just because.
Yeah, it's a final season, and he is great, but I'm just saying, come on, Kyle Chandler in there. He was so good. Okay, not only that, Michael C. Hall for Dexter wasn't even nominated. Are you kidding me? How great was he in that show?
I just watched the entire first season about a week ago, and I just loved it. It was quirky, and it's dark. It's really dark at times, and I just loved the first season, and I was really happy to see that Showtime released pre-screeners of the first two episodes of the second season.
Oh, cool.
And I just watched those, and it's going to be an interesting season.
Is it the kind of thing where... I don't know if people who do the nominations don't even watch all these shows, or they're just like, it's the first season. Let's see how they do.
Is Dexter out on DVD yet?
I think so.
The first season is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I want to catch up with that.
But also,
it's a really good show.
The actress category, we got Patricia Arquette for Medium.
Oh, my God.
Minnie Driver for that one show where they're Irish
travelers. Riches?
The Riches, yes.
I don't know about that.
Edie Falco for The Sopranos. Or The Sopranos. Sally Field. Sally, you like me, you really, really like me. Fields for that one show she's on about brothers and sisters. What is that?
Brothers and Sisters.
Mariska Hargitay, Emmy-worthy performance. She won it last season. She's not going to win it. And then Kira Sedgwick for The Closer.
The only one I totally agree with there is Kira Sedgwick.
Okay, take Mariska Hargitay out of there, take Sally Field. Why isn't Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights in there? Seriously, did anyone watch? I guess they didn't watch the show. The one thing I'm glad is that no one in the acting category from Heroes was nominated, because they don't deserve it.
I think I would have shot myself if Masioka was nominated.
Masioka is nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a drama. Yes. You want to hear it? Michael Emerson.
Who's that?
He is, what's his face from Lost? Henry.
Benry.
He's Benry. He's great on that show. I would give
He is.
Michael Imperioli, Christopher Moltisanti from Sopranos. T.R. Knight, the guy who got fired off of that.
Oh, no, that isn't the guy that got fired. That's the guy that got the other guy fired.
Oh, and then we got Masioka for Heroes, which is okay. And Terry O'Quinn. You know, really, Hero is a great character on Heroes. He steals the show. Maybe he does deserve it. The Shat Man, William Shatner, for, again, Boston Legal.
These nominations suck ass.
I would give it to Michael Emerson there, but, again, yep. No one from Friday Night Lights. Also, I think Battlestar Galactica finally got some decent nominations, but it's only in the directing and writing. But, hey!
Yeah, that's okay. That's the best part of it.
That's what Friday Night Lights got. They got nomination in directing.
Because they really need the category Best Whisper Acting.
Well,
then that'd be
I think Olmos or McDonald deserves.
Hey, you know what? The guy that plays Apollo deserves it just for his English accent. I had no idea the guy was British.
Yeah. Let's see. Supporting actress in a drama. Lorraine Bracco, Rachel Griffiths, Catherine Heigl, Sandra Oh, Ada Turturro, and Chandra Wilson.
Quite possibly the most appropriate name, Sandra Oh, because when you look at her, you go, oh.
Oh. Supporting actor in a comedy. We got Kevin Dillon, Johnny Drama. I hope he gets it.
That's a good one.
Great.
Well, Jeremy Piven, too.
Also, Dwight from The Office, Jeremy Piven. He won it last year, so he's not going.
Could you imagine what would happen on the set if Kevin Dillon won and Jeremy Piven didn't? Such an egomaniac.
But, I mean, Ari, he won it last season, and it almost seems like on the show, Entourage, they're like, let's cut Ari down a little bit. He's taking over the show. But this season has been Johnny Drama's season so far, I think.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Well, anyway, I would say that Friday Night Lights got totally dissed. That's the way I look.
It did. I'm not happy about
it. Oh, also, we can't forget, so did Veronica Mars. They didn't win. You know, Kristen Bell, she's great on the show.
Yeah, but this season really sucked ass.
But she's great on the show.
She is great.
She does great with the material she gets. And I don't think the entire season sucked. I think they were doomed from the get-go. The show wasn't getting picked up, and they didn't want an overall mystery arc, and I don't know. It's almost, hey, if they're like, hey, Veronica Mars is gone, let's throw them an Emmy because they're not going to be around anymore. Why didn't that rule go into effect? So anyway, okay. I would say that the Emmys, I haven't paid attention, haven't cared before, and now I especially don't care.
The Emmys suck. Let's see if they get a Golden Globe nomination. I'd be happy with that.
Emmy-worthy.
Exactly. I would definitely say Friday Night Lights is Emmy-worthy. And I can't wait till it comes back.
Emmys can kiss my ass.
Exactly. And hey, guys, before we go any further, we got a voicemail. That's right. One voicemail. Let's check it out.
Somebody wants to call us.
Hello, you people from Mulberry. This is Rick from Fort Worth, Texas. Just wanted to say hello and let you know that it's great to have you guys back. That's it. Talk to you soon. Hope to hear the next show. Bye.
Hey, well, it was worth the wait.
As long as you're listening, you're going to hear the show.
Thanks, Rick.
Did you play the voicemail yet?
Yes.
Oh, I must have missed it.
Seriously, thanks, Rick. And anybody else wants to send us some voicemail, remember 1-206-202-3491. And if you're listening right now, pause the show and call and leave us a voicemail and tell us what you think so far of the show before listening.
Tell us you agree with our Emmy.
Yeah, because the Emmys suck.
You know,
I don't care.
Sucks.
I mean, let's give Grey's Anatomy awards. Let's give that Ugly Betty show.
Grey's Anatomy.
Hey, wait a second. Those shows are fairly new, right, Bill? Why are they getting accolades? Where's Friday Night Lights, love? Is it because they have to be a show where people are fashionable and all this kind of horse shit? Exactly.
Who gives the Emmy nominations?
I'll tell you why.
It's the Academy.
You want to know why? Because it's filmed in Texas, not in Hollywood.
That's right. Exactly.
They're not there to.
They don't like those Southerners. Here's the theory I have about Friday Night Lights, Bill. People complain that it's grainy and shaky cam. If they started filming it non-shaky in this beautiful kind of color,
I'd hate it.
Without grain, all of a sudden it looks more like Joan of Arcadia. Would it get better ratings?
Dawson's Creeky.
Yeah, Dawson's
Creeky.
What do you think? Would it do better in the ratings?
90210.
It might be more accessible.
Did Jericho get any accolades? Let's get into entertainment. But seriously, though, folks, we have a lot of shows to talk about on What's on Our TiVo. Next week, I must say that Who Wants to Be a Superhero? Premiering. Yes. Nice. Can't wait. But before we get to that, Bill, I keep seeing the commercials to this new Jessica Biel, Adam Sandler, King of Queens guy movie, now pronouncing Chuck and Larry. And again, it's one of those films, we've talked about this before, how it doesn't look funny at all, am I right?
No.
But they show Jessica Biel's ass more than once in the trailer.
Yeah, and they do that one shot in the trailer where it, like, shakes.
Yeah.
And everybody, well, I remember the first time I saw it, they went, oh my.
They show her bending over at one point, and they kind of like peek around, like, whoa. And then later on, they show her in her underwear because, hey, all gay guys, you know, beautiful women undress around them because they're just like being around a girl. It happens in all movies like that.
Yes.
It's not a cliche at all. But no. Anyway, will that be enough to get you into the theater to see the movie?
No, her ass isn't. You know, going to just put me in a theater.
It wasn't enough for Into the Blue with Jessica Alba. It wasn't enough for Dukes of Hazzard with Jessica Simpson. It's not enough for Jessica Biel. Hey, the
Holy
Jessicas.
Shit, wait.
Holy crap. That's what
the trifecta.
Hey, we got a Jessica. Show her ass. We'll sell the movie that way.
Please show and win.
But it doesn't work for me, man. It's just like, hey, wait till it's on Showtime or HBO or something.
It looks so bad. Just so stupid.
You're going to see a lot of the lame gay jokes in it.
It's a straight-to-video movie, essentially,
but
really.
Another thing I catch from the trailer is Rob Schneider's in it because he's in every Adam Sandler movie in a little part. But he's like this Coke bottle lenses wearing Chinese guy. It's like,
all of a sudden,
that's a preacher.
Charlie Chan.
Let's offend as many Asian people as possible. What is that all about? I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't be an Adam Sandler movie unless he offended a large group of people for no apparent reason.
You know what we need to start doing on the show? Just start reviewing trailers, like when they first come out. Not even see the movie. We're just reviewing the trailer. And I'm going to say, I don't pronounce you Chuck and Larry, not a single laugh in the movie. All you do is go, whoa, at the Jessica Biel parts.
It's that really bad chuckle.
Yeah.
Ugh, that groan chuckle.
Yeah,
it's like whenever you have whenever you see Martin Lawrence's Blue Streak on HBO.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're pretending to be married gay guys, or they're married, so there's going to be the part where they have to pretend to make out, and they're like, oh, you're a dude, I can't kiss you.
Dude.
And one of them has to be the ultimate ladies' man, which
shows how much
it'll be
it
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can bag operating thetans, right?
Hey, you know what? If you can bag a thetan, you're good to go.
Oh, speaking of thetan, Hairspray came out this week. And what do you think? John Travolta is a big, rotund woman. Does it do anything for you?
The role he meant to play his entire life.
That's scary. I'm sorry. The movie, it looks fun.
Well, guess what? They already made this movie.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, it looks like it'd be fun for the family or whatever. But
I wonder Waters approved it.
Like
okay.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, what are his friggin'
John
standards?
Yeah.
Seriously.
True.
This is disgusting. I don't think he has those kind of... I mean, he made the original film.
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sure that'll win the box office this week, Hairspray.
John Travolta is no divine.
No, he's not.
Wishes he was.
He is divine in Scientology, though.
Leave us exit stage left.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos.
He vanished into skinny air.
Yes, he did. Now, guys, a couple of new shows premiered, and I don't know why this show exists, but Victoria Beckham coming to America, because now her and her hubby moved to L.A. Beckham, he's a great soccer player, but I don't know. I guess they go crazy for him in Britain. It's so weird how, like...
Soccer beer doesn't mean crap.
But I don't... Do people just...
<you. laughs>
I guess... People are into celebrity gossip-type crap shows and magazines. I guess they eat it up, right? They're just like,
what has she done since the Spice Girls? Anything?
Yeah, you just go places.
Just changes her hairstyle and
yeah, now they can go to premieres and be seen. But in this clip from the show, there's this site called Perez Hilton, Bill.
Yeah, I visit that every day.
And it's like a gossip site.
It does really vicious gossip.
And she decides to go confront him. Let's check it out.
Victoria, have you seen what this dude's writing about here?
Oh, my God. Perez Hilton has this website where he basically just talks about celebrity, prostitute.
I'd spit in his food.
Well, his office is like a coffee shop.
We should go and see him.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, so what about some of the names that you've called me?
I think I may have called you an alien.
Really?
Or...
Yeah.
Robot with really big boobs.
Is he twanging on guitar there?
With no feelings. With no feelings.
Do they seriously? Do they look that big to you?
I did like...
No, you need to get them bigger.
I do like the idea of confronting the guy. What was the guy's office doing in a coffee shop?
Well, that's where his office is. He works at a back table with the coffee bean and tea leaf or something on... in L.A.
Hey, I guess anybody could be
a... Dude, he doesn't have to pay for office space. All he's got to do is order a cup of coffee.
And he doesn't have to pay for internet access because it's free there.
Nice. Hey.
Wi-Fi.
Well, there's another show. We never talk about this show. It's called Extreme Makeover, but it's for people. It's not the building houses with that homo...
It's just like... It's the broke down houses, except they're broke down people.
Yeah. And the funniest thing about this, there's this couple who's going to get married, and they both got made over. But they show them get married and everything's happy. And then they go through a list of everything that they got done. And I thought it was hilarious. It goes on forever, like this whole list of stuff. Let's check it out.
Two surgeries, a brow lift, upper and lower eyelid lift, cheek lift, chin implant, nose job, breast lift and augmentation, lipo under chin, hips, and abdomen. For him, in two surgeries, upper and lower eyelid lift, nose job, brow lift, lipo on his face, abdomen, waist, and love handles. LASIK eye surgery, laser hair removal, 14 Da Vinci porcelain veneers, gum repositioning, and zoom whitening.
Whoa, he got whole shebang, man.
I think they're cyborgs.
I think he got a little more than she did.
There's not
artificial life forms at this point.
Robot with really big boobs.
Hey,
yeah, the woman is.
That's crazy.
Breast lift and augmentation.
So they get divorced after this?
I don't know.
Because they're different people now.
But they don't let them see each other till when they get married.
Like 3 months later.
The veil and he's like, whoa, I'm marrying this total hottie. So
yeah, Leonardo da Vinci has to be rolling in his grave if they call teeth veneers Da Vinci veneers.
Yeah. Now,
what are you talking about?
Speaking of insane, let's talk about Hey Paula for a second.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Paula has been working, designing clothes for the new Bratz movie, that line of children's dolls or whatever. They're making a live-action movie, and she's been involved in the design process.
The slutty children's dolls.
Why would anyone go to Paula Abdul to design clothing?
Because she's a genius.
So let's check out what happens when her excitement over this gets totally destroyed.
Uh-oh. And I discover an email about the Bratz movie I've been working so hard on. Now all of a sudden, I'm infuriated. I can't believe what I'm reading right now. After all of these long months of hard work, I'm getting an email that basically says they really don't need me. And I really scratch my head and I wonder, where's God when you need him? Because this is
oh my God.
How could God let this happen to us?
I can't go with it.
You know you like that.
You guys, please, I'm trying to tell a goddamn story.
Whoa.
Holy shit, volatile.
Why would God do that to her?
You know what? God doesn't like Bratz.
Doesn't he know how important the Bratz account is to her? Now, this week on Hell's Kitchen, I just saw this briefly. I haven't been watching the show, but I saw where Ramsay awarded these guys by taking them paintballing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's funny. He says in this that in this clip here that they get to shoot him as many times as they want. They get to really let him have it. But he didn't really mention that he's a friggin' expert at paintball warfare. Let's check it out.
All three of you have got a very, very rare opportunity. I've been in your face for the last couple of weeks. Today, payback time. That's right. Your first opportunity to get back at me.
Our hope is figurative because, you know, I could knock his ass out.
We got
come here and clock me.
I have a feeling if they even got to a boxing ring, he would still beat the shit out of these guys.
Yeah, you bastard!
Got me!
Gordon Ramsay's got a cloaking device like the Predator.
I'm out! I'm out!
You're fast!
Got me, you got me though.
How can you do it?
I'm gonna hit you like this.
I just love how fast he took them all out. He's just like running by, shooting them all.
Gordon Ramsay's a badass. He's just a tough dude.
I thought that was hilarious.
He's probably studied like martial arts and everything else.
I think he was like a badass soccer player before he was a chef too.
But I mean, seriously, if you like won a thing on the show and he goes, "I'm gonna let you guys punch me because we're going to the boxing ring. You can beat me up as much as you want." It's like, nah, he's probably some kind of kickboxing expert. He's gonna kick my ass. He's not gonna put himself in the position to be made a fool of, you know.
He probably took lessons on military warfare. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, this season I'm going to do some paintballing with somebody.
He's probably a British Secret Service. He's a 00 or something.
He's a double knot spy.
We haven't really been talking about Last Comic Standing, but I saw this bit here this guy does, and he does basically what I call a comedic faux pas. Anyone who goes into any kind of Jack Nicholson impression or friggin' Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver...
You talking to me?
...just immediately needs to never do comedy again. Let's go ahead and check this out. But I was just like, oh, groan. It's so bad. This is a comedy bit from the 80s. Let's check it out.
I want to see it with, like, some of my favorite actors in it, man. So I put together a little something called The Wizard of Oz, starring Jack Nicholson as Dorothy... Gilbert Gottfried is the Tin Man, Christopher Lloyd from Taxi is the Scarecrow, and Robert De Niro is the Wizard. Put your...
That sounds good. Let's
got any actors from
doing,
the
Mr.
Century?
Wizard?
Oh, Christ.
Well, me and my three friends here, we want to ask you for a few things, all right?
Hey, good job.
First, we got the Tin Man. I would like a heart! Oka doka! Mr. Wizard!
Wow. Jesus!
I would like a...
Oh, God.
Ham! You four freaks talking to me?
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus! Seriously, somebody should have walked on some stage and just shot him in the head.
Yeah, I would have just walked up there and kicked him in the nads.
That was horrible.
Has Christopher Lloyd done anything besides...
I like how he goes, Christopher Lloyd from Taxi. Hey, because none of you people know who he is. It's friggin' Doc Brown, but...
Yeah, he could have said that and it would have been better.
This is a bit he's been doing since he was in middle school, trust me.
Yeah, he's worked on this since the
80s. People have said, like, oh, man, that's so good. That's so good. And he's like, really?
I remember, like, it might have been, like... Early 90s, Dennis Miller did some kind of stand-up, Black and White on HBO, and he was talking about how many times have you seen a bad comedian do Jack Nicholson in a situation.
He's
like, hey, everybody, Jack Nicholson as a grocery clerk. And he's like, he holds his hair back, and it's just like, and this guy does it. It's so bad. And I was just like, oh.
Groan factor 8.
I wonder why I don't watch that show anymore.
So has nobody been watching it?
I watched the tryouts, you know, just, obviously because you're going to see all the bad comedians.
Seriously, I'm just waiting for Who Wants to Be a Superhero. I mean, that's the show I got to watch.
I'm just biding my time till, you know, the fall season here.
I've been watching more of that show called Burn Notice on USA. It's a good show, man, I got to say. Very entertaining. And there was
that's a
new...
Bruce Campbell one, right?
Yeah, and there's a new show on A&E, Bill, that premiered called Mad Men. It's about ad agency men.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I recorded. I watched some of it. It looks really good. High production values. This is the first like drama that they've made specifically for their channel. And it looks like they pulled all the stops on it. So I'd check it out. But another show A&E is doing that I'm really excited about. I'll just go ahead and play this intro here, and you guys, I don't know, I'm really excited. Let's check it out.
In 1987, teen actors Corey Haim and Corey Feldman appeared in a vampire movie that catapulted them to fame, fortune,
yeah,
and a string of roles that made the two Coreys a household name. Unfortunately, fame was fleeting, and the Coreys left the public eye with bad headlines and bad habits. 20 years later, here's Corey Feldman. He's married. He's a working actor. He's a neat freak.
He's a working
actor.
Here
is Corey Haim. He's single.
Supposedly.
He's unemployed.
Allegedly.
He's a slob. Now, Haim is staying with Feldman while he jumpstarts his career and his life. Can two former heartthrobs and a wife share a house without driving each other crazy?
Hijinks ensue.
Sounds like hijinks.
I love the odd couple music in the background.
Now, can I be serious? The last thing I remember seeing Corey Haim in was a Sega CD video game called Double Switch.
The last thing I remember him in was that movie they did with Nicole Eggert.
Oh, Blown Away.
Yeah, Blown Away.
Awesome. Nice. But come on, Bill, did you play Double Switch?
I don't remember. I don't think I did.
It was just like Night Trap, where you set traps off in a hotel.
Feldman,
wasn't he on
Corey Feldman, yeah, he's been more around. I've seen.
I was more of a fan of
He was on The
Zero
Surreal
Texas
Life, last thing I saw.
Yeah. Corey Haim has been more, like, disappeared, but there, I saw this clip, and this is what attracted me to the show, because it's very interesting. Basically, Corey Haim has had a rough time. Corey Feldman, he's found work doing odd things. Let's face it, the guy can easily do cartoon voices or whatever. He can find work doing that kind of thing. And plus, he has this horrible music career to fall back on also.
He dresses up like Michael Jackson.
But Corey Haim, he struggled with
drugs,
alcohol, weight issues, as they said. I was like, huh? But
then he got all tattooed up. And
he's trying to get his. He wants to act again, and one of his dream things is, hey, maybe one day we could do Lost Boys 2 again. We could do Lost Boys 2, big comeback. I mean, hey, it's a dream, Steven. He was up high one time. He dated the likes of Alyssa Milano, Meredith Salinger, total hottie. And now he's living in a spare bedroom at Corey Feldman's house. So let's go ahead and check out what happens when his dream is crushed, much like Paula Abdul's.
There's something I need to talk to you about, dude.
If it's about my birthday, I don't want to talk about it because I already feel old.
No.
But I look good.
No, let's sit down for a minute.
What's up, kiddo?
You did.
Talk to me, man. What's up?
They're making a sequel to Lost Boys.
They're making this. Who's they? Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers Home Video is doing some crappy sequel.
Are we in it?
No.
Are we in it?
Are you in it?
No. They asked me to be in it, but
who are we?
They just asked me to come do a cameo.
So they're doing Lost Boys too?
Well, yeah. I told them that there's no way I'm doing it. I would do it without you. And,
so no mention of me, nothing in the flick.
Okay. Dude, don't. You can't take it personally.
It's not personal, dude. It's just, I love everyone in that movie.
And everyone loved you. It's not them. Just put it into perspective. Would you want
perspective
it?
Perspective is, man, I've done too many times, like, so to speak, on the strip, man. Burned too many bridges, and I'm not working because of it. You know this.
Both of us
no
made
one
our
loves
mistakes.
Me anymore.
Okay, but we
you know,
grew
he's
up.
Going surreal life.
And now we got to make it right. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, buddy.
If you're not doing this without me, baby, dude, I want you to do it, though. I don't want you to miss it that bad, yeah.
No way.
Thanks for telling me, buddy.
Hey, he didn't make Lost Boys without his bud. It's good friends.
Now we can go team your wife.
She's hot. Yeah, she is pretty hot. Some of the stuff looks very staged, like he's really messy, Corey Feldman's a neat freak, but stuff like that. That was a real moment we just heard. Very hard-hitting. I can't wait till the show premieres.
Yeah, Corey Haim isn't that good of an actor.
It's like, those are real tears, dude. I wanted to make Lost Boys 2, and my career suddenly, boom, back.
But you know he'll put that on his demo reel. Like, I've got range.
What does happen, you wonder, as you're a child actor, like someone like Fred Savage, he turned it into a directing career, directing sitcoms. He's directing really bad movies with Cuba Gooding Jr. Daddy Day Camp is directed by Fred Savage. But guys like Corey Haim, is it just because they just... I mean, seriously, were they at the right place in the right time? Their parents got them in. They landed audition. Yeah. They got the
part. They were cute guys.
They got the ball rolling. And then,
they did nothing to ensure their future.
I mean, because when you look at Corey Haim, it's not like, say, if they had a show like this with Jude Law trying to get his acting career back together.
They were little teen heartthrobs. You know, the girls were falling all over him.
Right. Even, like, the thing about Tom Sizemore, a dude with a lot of problems, as much as effed up as that guy is, I'm like, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr., as much as effed up as that dude was, or hopefully, you know, he's making Iron Man, everything's back on board, but... You know, you can doubt him all you want, but you're like, that dude's a solid actor. He will get work again. But someone like Corey Haim, he messes up his life and it's like, who gives a shit? I mean,
they write him off.
Can't he get a job on Nickelodeon, one of those bad sitcoms or something? I don't know. He could play like a janitor at a high school. I don't know. I'm playing...
He could be the new barf on the new You Can't Do That.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm definitely checking that show out. Now, guys, Big Brother this week, I saw that Jen put up Danielle and Evil Dick. Danielle won the veto. Joe, our favorite resident homosexual in the house, he was put up and...
Oh!
Yeah. And basically, the live show just the other day, he was voted out.
Aw.
Poor Joe. It'll no longer be his time.
I want this to be my time.
Sorry, you're going home, dude.
Your time is over. Time to go home.
I love my photo, by the way.
I will miss him for sound bites. Like this one.
Somehow, immaculately conceived gonorrhea.
That's like the best drop of the year on this show, okay? We need to start doing the NIM Awards. He would win an award, all right, for that right there.
You're right.
We should do. Why don't we do
NIM Awards?
We're going to do NIMmies.
The Nimmies.
The Nimmies, yeah, definitely.
Nice bit.
F the Emmys. We got the Nimmies. And this guy's winning an award for best drop ever. Okay?
Somehow, immaculately conceived gonorrhea.
I mean, seriously, how do he made the biggest impression that first night.
Yeah, what a way to endear yourself to a group of strangers.
Well, the best part is when it said, Joe, you have been evicted. He said this.
Leave us exit stage left.
And it was awesome. He skipped the interview and everything. He just, like, you saw a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
Exit, double quick time, stage right.
We vanished in a skinny air.
But anyway, Evil Dick ends up winning HOH. And I don't know, this is for people who watch the feeds or whatever. One thing I notice about Dick is we see this every season, Bill. The people who win HOH who kind of, they let it get to their head a little. All of a sudden, they're the boss. I'm the boss, applesauce. Tony Danza, he's not the boss, I'm the boss. Dick, his head seems to be getting kind of big in there.
I haven't watched it since he won.
He's calling everybody out. He's making everyone confess their alliances, and he's basically saying, well, you know, you just gave up your shit to me. He's basically reiterating to everyone on what he did in the game to put him in this position, and now you're sitting here telling me your secrets that are no longer your secrets anymore. It's like he went off on this girl, Kale, right? Who basically, she formed an alliance. And when he learned of her alliance, he's like, I'm getting all these people out. They formed an alliance. What does he think everyone else in the house has done, has formed alliances? And he got upset when he found out that she was campaigning to get rid of Dick. But that's how you play the game.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
One thing you have to remember about Big Brother is every week you have to have a new leper, this person, this horrible person that you have to tell everyone how horrible they are to make them the target to go home. And then next week there will be another horrible person. Oh, that person's a slob. They fart. They're sexist. And then they're gone. And then you start all over again. That's the one part of the show that makes you sick after a while. You can't take all this negativity over. And you end up, the reason you like the show is the people who make it fun and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But this dude, Eric, who puts the Eric, you couldn't have America without Eric is what he said, Bill. Did you see that?
Oh. Yeah.
hey, I'm not really rooting for anyone yet. I'm trying not to get too involved. I'm just watching how things play out. But I just think it's interesting, like, people who are close to whoever wins HOH, all of a sudden they're like, well, my buddy just won HOH. I'm safe. I'm going to act like an asshole this week, you know? Like, that. My favorite is the girl Amber, who's always crying. Like, when she was put up on the block, she said, God put me on the block to test me. It's no, I think.
And then she was praying in her bed, rubbing like a rosary or something.
And she was like, God, okay, God, I got to win this veto. And then when she doesn't win the veto, okay, God didn't let me win the veto because he wanted me to see what it's like to maybe almost go home. It just makes me stronger. It's like, okay, nut job. But if I were to win HOH, it's like, I'm going to nominate Amber because God told me to.
Yes. God is very busy with a game show. Sitting up in heaven going, oh, I forgot to watch Big Brother.
Yeah, he's like, forget about the people in Iraq and all that. What's going on in Big Brother? I got to help one of those contestants win $500,000, which most of it goes to taxes.
She can become a meth freak again.
I love when contestants are like, I'm going to give my parents all this money. I'm going to give them $25,000 if I win. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like they don't realize that 250 grand really isn't that much money anymore.
It's like, yeah, I'm gonna be set up for life. 100 grand, woohoo!
I'm gonna buy a house,
I'm gonna buy
a
mansion,
car.
A yacht. It's like, do you know how much things cost in life?
Buy Bubbles the Chimp.
Yeah.
Elephant Man Bones.
But, I mean, the show is still entertaining. It's just, I think it's funny how it plays out the same every year. And these people have also seen previous seasons of Big Brother. Well, most of them. But you can't help but start acting the same way. And Dick, he was the first one who said it, Bill. He said, you reap what you sow. And I was like, why do they always say that?
Yes. You sow the seeds and you reap them later. And then people get voted off. And then you go, wow, this show sucks. And then you turn off your TV.
Now, does anyone remember what happened on this week's Entourage?
Now all of a sudden, I'm infuriated.
Well, Paula, I guess she doesn't like Entourage. Let's see, Entourage this week. They haven't gone to Cannes yet, but no. Eric and the insane director,
Billy Walsh.
I loved his big midi tattoo on his back. Pablo Escobar.
That made me laugh. That was funny. Like, and it wasn't Pablo Escobar. It was Vince as Pablo Escobar.
So funny. It's like, dude, this is what about another movie you make? The guy is completely unstable. And the whole setup there was Ari was trying to get him this new mountain climbing film that Heath Ledger's attached to. He manipulates it where Heath Ledger drops it because he'll look, another gay mountain movie.
Yeah.
Except that Curtis Hanson only wanted to make it with Heath Ledger, so Ari sets up a deal so the Wonder Boys, who made Medellin, will make this mountain movie. Billy Walsh, he's okay in spurts. If there's too much of him, you want him dead too.
Yeah.
But the guy's just friggin' insane. Look.
Yeah, and they have to pretend to get along to do this interview at the end.
Yeah.
The guy that plays him is great because you really start to hate him.
I know, and they had Elvis Mitchell, that reviewer, on the show. But
that dude has the biggest friggin' hair I've ever seen.
His hair is nuts, man. But also we have drama wanting this trucker cap, this marijuana trucker cap. And it's this medicinal marijuana place. And I love that part where
it's like all these actors are hanging out in this place.
I love how he gets Turtle to bring... He calls Turtle and Turtle's like, He's like
baked.
Totally baked. Says pretty strong, I'll be a bit.
What I thought was funny, though, is when they're sitting in the waiting room and they're all asking what everyone has, and they're like, well, I have nerve damage.
Yeah, from a skateboarding accident. Yeah.
Except mine's from a motorcycle.
And I love where he's asking drama, like, do you feel anxious right now? And he, like, comes up with something.
He's telling him.
Like, here's what you do. Here's how you get it. But I love the scene where drama just wants to look young around his young castmates. And I love he's like, you're bugging out. I'm not bugging out.
When I was in high school and I was smoking the weed, I bugged out quite a few times. That shit can play with your head.
Was he like, I just need a glass of water. Somebody give me a glass of water.
And that's what it's like. It's so irrational whenever you bug out like that, because it was exactly that. Like, you start to feel every beat of your heart, and you think it's pounding, and that you're like, it's almost like a panic attack, kind of like Paula.
Yeah.
She gets so infuriated. But no, I was cracking up because he played it so well.
You guys, please, I'm trying to tell a goddamn story.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. What's wrong with that crazy bitch? After an episode like this, it's just like, give Kevin Dillon the Emmy this year. Seriously.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know what's funny is when you see him in interviews, you kind of expect him to be like drama.
Yeah, he's not. He just
plays the role so well, and he's not.
He's a cool, laid-back guy. Just like whenever you see Matt Dillon, he's just like a real laid-back guy, real quiet. And
especially after last season when they taped him masturbating.
Oh God! When they record, yeah, that was hilarious.
What was it, like a Maxim or?
No, it was for the movie. They were telling him, remember, to how to relax
him into his bathroom.
Oh yeah.
And he still had his mic on, and they were all laughing. That was great. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
It's one of those shows where I'm like, I'll look at the TV and go, holy shit, I have an Entourage. I haven't watched it. Sweet, you know. It's a great show.
It drives me crazy that it's so short.
Yeah, it is. It's good to have two in a row to watch.
Yeah, it's such an entertaining show.
One thing the makers of the show, they always want Vince to succeed, it seems like. He has his setbacks, but the dude never worries about money ever, really.
Right.
Like, he even came into
a little
bit of money.
Well, he already said that, too. He said, look,
game.
Shit, I came from nothing. I can go back to it easily.
Right. And that kind of drives you nuts, too. It's like, dude, what are you talking about?
And that's where drama is just the opposite, you know?
Yeah, he's trying to hold on to everything. And Eric, he wants to take care of his boy, but... you definitely know Eric doesn't want to give up that life.
Eric
definitely
is way in over his head.
Turtle, he wouldn't survive without being taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny how the tables have kind of turned. Like, Vince has no money right now, and Johnny has the stable job, and they're all living at his place. And
right.
It's a good show. I love the way they write it. And you're right about Vince's character, the way he's just so laid back, and everyone else is so concerned about money. And then they're bitching at each other, and Elvis Mitchell thinks that they have this great rapport.
How long you guys known each other since childhood?
They're ready to kill each other.
Wait, I want to bring up one more show. I don't know if you're watching The Flight of the Conchords. Have you been watching that? I've caught like two episodes, and the two that I've watched, I think I've liked them.
This would fall into the quirky category.
Yeah,
right?
they're New Zealand, right? Or
yeah, New Zealanders.
Yeah,
New Zealanders.
I watched two of the episodes and I just couldn't get into it. I thought it was stupid.
You know what's funny is the guy Zach from Big Brother. If you put a wig on him, he looks just like that dude from Flight of the Conchords with the big teeth.
He does. You're right.
Put the glasses on him.
You know, kind of being, you know, but in there, you know, comes to like I've, you know, you know, and hey, you know, you know, whenever you know, do something. Yes. But anyways,
let's do the news.
I could knock his ass out.
I'd spit in his food.
All right, Bill, what we got in the news this week?
All right, first I want to apologize for pulling a Vanessa last week and reading a story about child neglect in which the child died. I did not read the story prior to doing it and was just as shocked as you were while I was reading it. And to make up for that, I'm going to do another story about child neglect. This one's for the father, Wallstrom. A 20-year-old Syracuse woman who left children in her care to go pose for nude pictures is facing several charges of endangering the welfare of a child.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Police say Michelle Rendino was supposed to be watching four young girls yesterday when she left them alone and went into the woods near Syracuse's Inner Harbor to have a man take nude photos of her.
Well, at least she had a good reason.
Yeah. A man fishing saw the children crying and called police. When police arrived, the oldest girl, a six-year-old, told police that Aunt Michelle went into the woods to take nasty pictures.
I am so sorry, Bill.
Rodino says she asked the man to take nude photos of her so she could get back at her ex-boyfriend. The children were returned safely to her mother.
Like I said, at least she had a good reason.
Yes.
I'm getting revenge on my boyfriend.
That is shocking to me.
I mean,
let's take the children with us.
You ever perform a sexual act at the library?
No, it was in the woods.
Speaking of children and nasty pictures, you know how there's this thing going on with Intel where they're making these really cheap laptops to send to third world countries and children and schools and stuff?
I've heard about
It seems that Nigerian school children who received laptops from a U.S. aid organization have used them to explore pornographic sites on the internet.
Get out!
The official news agency of Nigeria reported Thursday that...
So it's like NationalGeographic.com they're going to?
Yeah, right. The news agents of Nigeria reported Thursday that a reporter had seen pornographic images stored on several of the children's laptops. Efforts to promote learning with laptops in a primary school in Abuja.
Hey, the kids are curious.
Of course they are. The learning with laptops has gone awry as pupils freely browse adult sites with explicit sexual material.
So are they getting Wi-Fi out in the bush or what?
Yeah, I
guess.
Out in the bush.
Wow.
yeah, I guess so. It's so funny though, these kids, they get laptops, they get the internet, and what's the first thing they do? Porn.
Well, they went in there to study about the bush, and that's what came up.
Hey, what is the main thing there? AIDS. They got to learn to masturbate, all right? It's the only way to stop AIDS.
Yes. You know, it's funny,
that doesn't
the
make
same
sense.
Thing happened in...
I thought it did.
It sort of does. But the same thing happened in Iraq when we toppled Saddam's regime. The first thing that went up along houses, satellite dishes. The first thing they watched, porn.
So did they have, like, DirecTV vans waiting to drive into Baghdad? Hey, everybody. Here's your TiVos.
Porn. Al-Akbar. Porn.
Yeah.
This is just – I love this, that porn is universal. Even these dying kids and – the middle of Nigeria, first thing they think of, not food, not, you know, how to...
Not the food network. They're not over there.
How can they create a better life for themselves? College, school, no, porn.
I'm really curious of what the ratio is, if it's like 10 kids or something, you know.
I think it's all of them.
Kids are playing Sudoku also.
I don't know. It's kind of like they
watching the feeds on Big Brother.
They were doing the test where it's like 1 in 15 kids has been approached online by males or by...
The hell's
by
going
adults.
On, man?
Oh, I'm waiting to see that, man. To catch a predator, Nigeria.
Hey!
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and the guy's like... He's like, I'm sorry, I don't understand.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
Now, in Seoul, South Korea, police are seeking a 26-year-old woman on suspicion of embezzling about $1.4 million to fund a craving for designer shoes, bags, and clothes. We have a strong reason to believe she used the money to purchase about 1,000 designer goods, the police spokesman said. Without a doubt, you have to say she is a luxury addict. The woman, identified only as Miss A, worked for an agricultural cooperative. She is suspected of siphoning off utility and tax payments to fund purchases, including, according to the media reports, hundreds of pairs of shoes. Police are looking for accomplices, but will not release further details. So
I can't remember. I was high at the time.
She must be like a devotee of Imelda Marcos.
Yeah, what's with women and shoes? Seriously.
I have no idea.
Don't ever go shoe shopping with a woman. Seriously.
No, don't.
It's like hell. Being in hell.
It's like
you just sit there and stare at the ceiling.
Yeah. They all look the same to me.
Yeah.
So this lady thought to begin a criminal career to get more shoes.
But she was embezzling money from a freaking agricultural cooperative. These are farmers and and she's stealing $1 million from farmers. Maybe I could understand if it was like some conglomerate, company, but farmers? Who in their right mind goes, you know what? These people make good money. I'm going to steal
$1.5 million money to go around, right?
That's a great thing.
They really brought in the rice this year.
Oh, my God.
A tiger feared on the loose in Bordeaux.
Oh, this is that whole J.J. Abrams movie, right?
Yes, it is. This is.
It's a tiger!
Police in southwestern France are searching for a big cat, possibly a young tiger, that has been spotted prowling in the village near the city of Bordeaux. The village mayor said Thursday, officials from the National Hunting Office have laid traps for the animal after a woman and her daughter saw it repeatedly in their garden. At first they didn't believe it, but the third time the animal was 10 meters away from them. Another resident has seen the cat roaming the countryside, and its tracks suggest it is a young tiger, though it could be a jaguar or a leopard.
If you saw a big jaguar and it made that sound, would you pretty much piss your pants?
I think I'd lose all control of my bowels.
And
the smell
pounce.
Would probably take it away.
Yeah, that is true, like a skull.
When I hear about this, I think of I don't know if you probably haven't watched Apocalypto yet, but there's a scene where this panther just crushes this guy's head in its jaws.
Nice.
It's just to think about a gigantic tiger in your garden. Maybe it's a herbivore. It was in the garden.
Yeah, he's getting some tomatoes.
Yeah, some carrots, some tomatoes.
It's making a nice sauce.
Maybe there were some gophers in the garden he was eating.
Gophers?
Gophers.
Gophers?
Oh, yeah.
Gophers, you idiot. Not the gophers.
All right. And this one's for Vanessa. It's right out of Germany. In Berlin, armed police went into action in the German city of Wuppertal after a woman reported seeing a masked criminal. But having rushed to the scene, they were surprised to find not a crook, but a large stuffed toy. The woman was returning late at night to her car in an indoor car park when she saw the suspected brigand through the window of a parked van, police said Thursday. Though she later admitted to only catching a glimpse in the darkness, she was sufficiently alarmed to alert the authorities. Armed officers arrived in three cars, surrounded the van. What they found was a large toy beaver strapped into the passenger seat. A police spokesman said he struggled to see how the toy, which was two oversized front teeth, could have been mistaken for a person. Maybe it just had a really bad overbite.
Now all of a sudden, I'm infuriated.
There's a beaver! It's trying to steal a beaver.
Somebody's wearing a beaver mask.
That mask.
Because, you know, I couldn't knock his ass out.
That's a good idea. You should rob banks with a beaver mask.
Or just have the beaver as the getaway driver. Be awesome. Totally throw people off.
Yeah, the people are like, whoa, look at that beaver go.
You guys, please, I'm trying to tell a goddamn story.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, Paula. Jeez. She's cranky.
So was Bill. Bill was trying to tell a story
first.
Yeah, he's
telling a goddamn story first.
Bitch.
All right, Bill, any more news this week?
Well, let's finish this one off with the Darwin Award winner of the week.
Ooh.
In Gainesville, Georgia, it's a bad idea.
Thetan.
No, Gainesville, Georgia, not Thetans. It's a bad idea to burglarize a place marked canine training facility. Police dog handlers arriving Wednesday at the abandoned nursing home where they hold training sessions, discovered two men and a woman dismantling the building's copper pipes and wiring. When the officers arrived, the three dropped their tools and ran. That was their second mistake. For anyone trying to run from a whole unit of canines, it's just a no-win situation, Sergeant said. Pamela Puckett, 37. Holy crap. What's wrong with that dog? Mark Black, 18, was tracked to trash bin behind the nearby convenience store, and Paul Perry, 39, was treated for a superficial dog bite just below the buttocks after his arrest.
Yikes.
Signs outside the Northern Georgia facility warn, caution, Gainesville Police Department, canine training facility, keep out. It's not like it was a secret, Sergeant said. I guess someone who was that determined to steal something might not pay attention.
Yeah, you're supposed to scope the place out first. Come on.
I mean, I can understand that, you know, high copper prices, these people are breaking into all kinds of places. I've seen them stealing awnings, pipes from, construction places. But it says freaking Gainesville Police Department Canine Training Facility. Are you a freaking idiot? I love the quote that for anyone to try to run. Yeah, for anyone to try to run from a whole unit of canines, it's just a no-win situation. Love that the guy was hiding in a trash receptacle in a gigantic garbage bin.
Said the garbage would throw the scent off.
Oh, yeah, sure it would. You have a killer German Shepherd after you. And that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Thank you!
Okay, hey!
Thank you, thank you.
All right, Bill, we got any DVDs this week?
I think we do.
Let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, it's a definition!
Yes, the DVDs, everybody! Woo, woo, woo!
Ah, yummy!
Jesus Christ! All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
I want my car to sound like that. Woo, woo! All right, DVDs, July 24th, 2007. We're starting off with a classic from my youth in the 80s. An American Tale.
Ah, yes.
Everyone remembers the story of Fievel and the song that became enormously popular.
I remember the movie. Don't think I've ever seen it, though. Remember the poster with the little, he wore a red jacket or whatever?
The little ragamuffin
mouse.
Yeah,
the enormous ears. Yeah, and that song Somewhere Out There became a huge
hit. Is that what it was from?
Yeah.
Somewhere out there. That one?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So they're releasing An American Tale and the sequel, An American Tale, Fievel Goes West.
Yes.
There's a classic Swedish softcore porn film coming out. It's called Anita, and it's got Christina Lindbergh, who is in that movie they call, I think over here it's called Thriller, A Cruel Picture. Quentin Tarantino actually based the Daryl Hannah character with the one eye in Kill Bill on the character played by Christina Lindbergh. And let me just say that Christina Lindbergh, hot. Really hot.
So this is a pornographic film?
It's you know,
it
like
was at the time, but now it's pretty soft.
It's like an NC-17, probably.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it was about a shocking account of a young nymphomaniac. I saw it once a long time ago. But it's classic. You know, it's a classic cult film from the early 70s.
Hmm.
It's probably actually worth looking at because it's just so out there.
Nice.
So put it on your Netflix queue. You won't be disappointed if you're a heterosexual male. Now, I got to mention this just for the hell of it.
Okay.
If you love Charles Grodin as much as I hate him, then you'll love Beethoven, the family double feature.
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
Huh?
It's got not only the original Beethoven, but the sequel, Beethoven Second. So if you haven't, if you don't own those, you can pick them up for $10. Next, a show with quite possibly one of the greatest.
You forgot to say please.
Ever, Benson, the complete first season.
Oh yeah, my man, Benson.
Robert Guillaume.
Anyone for penis?
Huh?
What?
Robert Homer. Guillaume.
Robert Guillaume. Ugh.
Great
I
show.
Used to love this show as
Steven,
a kid.
Did you watch Benson?
Yes.
Great show.
I loved him on Soap as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got spin-off. His own show, Benson, as a spinoff from Soap. Mm-hmm.
Bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum.
But,
bum.
You know what?
Is that
I
it?
Think I'm actually going to rent this. Yeah, that's it. So I can, I haven't seen this show in so long. It used to be on Nick at Night or whatever, but
yeah,
I'm
going to
rent
it.
You
get the young Missy Gold.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in ages. Ages,
yeah, and
I tell
I
you.
Remember how much I loved it as a kid. I'd watch it with my dad.
That sucks.
It really does. That's really too bad. yeah.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that movie Cashback last week that premiered on HDNet?
I don't think so.
I want this
it was
to be my
a
time.
Magnolia release. Well, last week it came into theaters and, of course, on the same day showed on HDNet Movies. And this week it's being released on DVD. I watched it, and I actually kind of enjoyed it.
You know what? I TiVo'd it, haven't watched it yet.
You know, it's nothing terrific, but it's good. I really love what Magnolia Pictures is doing, because they're really bringing in some terrific films, especially Asian films like Dynamite Warrior and The Host, and films that people otherwise wouldn't have seen.
Is Magnolia asking them to film in HD, or does that matter? It's just film?
No, I think it's a standard for Magnolia films. I mean, they'll buy films from people that haven't filmed in HD.
But it's going to premiere on their channel, it will have been filmed in HD video?
Well, if it's
going
to premiere on their channel, I think it's a film that they have, you know, financed to make.
Oh, okay.
Like they did with Faye Grimm, it was actually financed by them.
Yeah, also that the other Parker Posey movie. Broken Flowers.
Yeah, but I think Magnolia Home Video is great. People should get out there.
It's very
check
cool.
out their website. Check out HDNet. Check them out. They're just really good.
Literally,
and I'll say check them out one more time. I think that's three trifecta. Place win show. Coach, the first season limited edition. I think I mentioned the first season a few weeks back, but this is the limited edition. So if you bought it
not
once,
really.
You should
no.
buy it twice.
Yeah, I love Coach.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yes.
With Dauber and...
yes.
Patrick.
I'm going to milk it.
I always thought his daughter was hot on that show.
Didn't they change daughters halfway through the show?
They might have. I think I watched the first season, didn't watch it after that.
If everyone does not own the DVDs of Conan the Barbarian Collector's Edition and Conan the Destroyer, they're back into print. Universal just decided to re-release
hell
them.
Yeah.
So if you couldn't find them before, you can find them now.
Crom. Conan the Destroyer is hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's unintentionally hilarious.
It's so bad. Grace Jones.
Conan the Barbarian was on HDNet Movies, wasn't it? Not long ago?
Yeah, and I watched it. It was great.
Yeah, it looked really good. I can't wait for Universal to... release it onto HD DVD.
If you'd like to hear the lamentation of the women.
Yes. That is quite possibly the best line ever delivered.
It's funny, when I watched that movie now, Conan, it's such an oddly paced film. It really is. It's just so slow going. It's just a strange movie. Not a lot of dialogue. It's just John Milius, the also director of the great Red Dawn, which we talked about last week. He's got quite a resume. Una granada.
Didn't he do something just recently that sucked ass, Milius?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Poor Milius.
That question was a low blow. I'd love to know who asked that.
Bill?
I did.
Bill asked that.
Well, I didn't really ask. Yeah, I did. Okay, they're also re-releasing all those classic monster films that were out of print for a little while. Frankenstein, Dracula, and of course the double features like Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, House of Frankenstein, all those, which I love. I love those classic old, well, as if it's classic, it is old mainly. Those old monster movies. I love them.
I like the colorized versions.
Sacrilege! Blasphemer!
I love the turnerized ones.
Turnerized, yes.
Hey, man!
He knew what he was doing there.
I think the reason why I love Stephen Sommers' Van Helsing, it's really horrible. I mean, I'll admit, it's a terrible film, but it's just a shitload of fun to watch. And you can really see the love Stephen Sommers has for these classic films. And he's just, you know, having a joy.
The love he has for CGI.
I love the music in it. Yeah, it's just hilarious.
But Hard Boiled Ultimate Edition.
Ooh.
Yes, everyone loves John Woo.
Before John Woo was ruined.
Yeah, and Chun Yao Fat. Before he did ridiculous period
Fat
movies. Yes, Chun Yao Fat. Chow Yun Fat.
Yeah. You know what I read recently? That he walked off the set of a John Woo's latest movie and he just quit. And I forget what it was, but he said it was too frustrating. They gave him a script like days before he got there and he was expected to go right into it. And he just got frustrated.
Well, yeah, because he gets the script early and then has to memorize phonetically the English, because he doesn't speak English.
Well, they said that he had to speak Mandarin, and I don't think that's his native language. Don't they speak two languages? Cantonese and Mandarin.
Mandarin.
I think Cantonese is what he speaks. But
you're probably right. I think you are right.
John Woo, his films in Hong Kong were great. He came here, Broken Arrow, Hard Target, Face Off. Face Off can be entertaining. It's still not great.
Face Off was never explained because they said, you know, they changed faces, but the entire body changes too.
They add
like
weight.
All of
to
a sudden,
him.
a pudgy John Travolta is a skinny and anorexic looking.
And
Nicolas
it's funny,
Cage.
He aped a lot of his stuff from The Killer for Face Off.
Yeah, he did.
But
the dove
it's just
and
his
that church
the worst
end.
Film, the film that made me go, "Oh, John, is this Paycheck with Ben Affleck?"
Oh my god, I saw that the other day on Showtime.
With the CGI dove flying in the door. He also did it in Mission Impossible 2. It's just like his action doesn't work the way he did it anymore. It's been done better now. It's just I don't know. I think
he's done it better.
I think the guy is talented and stuff, but I'd really like him like this, a historical epic, something without guns, do something different, honestly.
Well, Hard Boiled is probably my favorite film of his. The Killer is up there, but
The
Hard
Killer
Boiled,
is my favorite, yeah.
The Hard Boiled is mine because I love the team of Chow Yun Fat and Tony Leung.
Yeah, yeah.
People know from Infernal Affairs films.
Right, I that film's a lot of fun, but I almost like the story in The Killer better.
Well, yeah, the story in The Killer is a little better, but I think the acting in Hard Boiled is a little more better.
Over the top, or
well, I think Hard Boiled.
I mean,
is a
I can't
better.
Tell how the acting is because I've only seen it like
the acting in The Killer is really the woman, the blind woman.
Oh yeah, she does a lot of that. Oh, I can't see.
Yeah, it's
Dumbo,
really
Mickey Mouse. You know, one of the best lines.
That's the old English dub.
I've seen The Killer in both dubbed and the subtitles, but I love the dubbed one where he shoots the guy on the bus. Remember that, Steven? And he goes, "God damn you, cop, you ass!" And he goes, "Finish your sentence."
That's the old '80s dub. That if I could get a hold of that again, I would
oh,
love
it's
it.
Genius. Mickey Mouse, Dumbo. I love The Killer. Hard Boiled's a lot
of
fun too.
Yeah, we cracked
too,
up. We were doing that forever. Finish your sentence.
But I gotta tell you, the first time I saw The Killer, it was a life changing movie. It was just like the action in this movie is so freaking unbelievably cool. Because remember, back then, you didn't see movies where the people didn't have two guns all the time. John Woo did that, and now every movie, everyone's got two guns. They're always sliding across something. But John Woo did all of that. He made it so fun and so cool and over the top, but now it's just so overdone, played out, that it's not like that anymore. But back in the day,
he keeps going back to his repertoire, but people have taken from it and made it better.
Yeah, like the new Die Hard, John McClane throws a fire extinguisher and she's, that's John Woo right there.
Yeah.
Shit like that. That's all John Woo. I mean, he's the stepping stone to the action that there is now, but it's almost like he's still doing the same thing that he was, and it's just seeing Ben Affleck jump through the air in slow motion with two guns just does nothing for me, okay?
Kind of makes me throw up in my mouth a bit.
Yeah, yeah. There's a part, well, I was going to say, there's a part in Paycheck that made me wince is a guy's chasing him in a subway, and Ben Affleck's got a gun on him, and the guy's got the drop on him. They're both pointing the guns. Ben Affleck hits the button where the mag drops out, the magazine drops out of the gun. He kicks it onto the electrical panel of the subway. It makes the bullets blow up and flings the bad guy backwards. And I was just like, oh, my God.
You know, the part that really made me wince was Uma Thurman operating the robotic arm in the lab at the end. And she grabs that stick and starts swinging it around and hitting guys with it with the robotic arm.
Yeah.
And then she gives it to the Ben Affleck character. But it was bad. That movie is so bad.
And, you know, I don't blame actors for wanting to work with John Woo, but it's just like, wow.
It's a very sexy thought.
Yes, it is.
The next DVD is Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, Volume 3. This is quite possibly one of the funniest shows I have ever seen. Harvey Birdman takes all these old, Hanna-Barbera characters and puts them in a law situation. Like the first show ever was Johnny Quest, Bannon, you know, the guy that would hang around with them and their father. They Race were fighting Bannon. Over the rights to Johnny. They're like a gay couple in it. I mean, this show is so funny. People need to see it. If you haven't seen it, rent it. Rent all three volumes that are out now. And I guarantee you will crack up. This is the funniest show I've seen on Cartoon Network in a long time.
Yeah, I think the funniest one I remember seeing was the one with Augie Doggie and Daddy Doggie.
Oh, yeah.
It was like some child abuse or something. I can't remember what it was about.
The one with Fred Flintstone as like a Tony Soprano character was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Oh, that's great.
The next DVD is The Host, the South Korean film. That is about a man-made monster.
You know, the trailer to this is very intriguing. It looks like a wacky comedy, and all of a sudden this monster attacks, and it's crazy. You remember seeing this?
It's a mix.
We saw it. It's like the Asian film or a sea monster or something.
Yeah, is that The Host?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It looks really...
It's quirky. It's a comedy.
In fact,
it's a horror...
Cloverfield, Bill, a lot of people are like, is this like the American remake of The Host? Or
it's a lion.
Yeah, it's a lion. It's huge. By the way, Cloverfield, this time next week, it'll probably be revealed to us what the name of the movie is. When I read that we were going to learn the title or whatever of the movie, I was like, no, I don't want to know. I'd rather them just play it out forever. Like,
six
what the
months.
Hell is this movie?
They tell you a week before it comes out.
It's
or
just
something.
So incredibly humorous to see people theorize, because it's just like you get frustrated at how stupid people are, but you also get a laugh out of it.
I was telling Bill yesterday that I was reading this guy. He goes, if you freeze frame it at this time, you see an angel in his wings, you know, sitting on like a pole, and he bends over and he's like praying. And it's like, what? You don't see anything.
It's the rapture.
But this guy's imagined that he
no.
sees. Oh, and he sees 666 everywhere. 666. It keeps repeating itself. It's like,
I think Steven's right. I think it's a new modern rapture film, like those films from the 70s, like A Thief in the Night and those that were so.
It's
horrible.
A remake of the Demi Moore film. Remember that one, The Seventh Sign? Yeah, we need a sequel to that or a remake because it was so well made.
Last week, I mentioned the last season of The Incredible Hulk, the television series. Well, this week, we get the Ultimate Collection. It's the entire series in one box.
Awesome!
Complete
Hulk box.
Lonely Man music.
A box of Hulk.
Is it going to look like a fist?
They ought to call it a Gamma Box. That would be sweet. Now, Bill, back on The Host for a second, Bill. Is The Host a good movie?
Yeah, I really, really liked it. The ending gets a little preachy, like political.
Oh,
but,
yeah?
But if you can look past that, it's a fun movie.
I mean, do they ever show the creature?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's out in the open.
And there's an explanation of why it exists or whatever. It's basically like a creature. They put it in the real world setting, right? I mean, it's like if this happened in real life, it's not.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of like what I was saying. The political message is like environmental at the end.
Right, right.
Like it's like this is something we created that is destroying us.
Right, you right. Know? Like that's a big thing. And like I don't know what country of origin
it's
is
like
this
land
film?
Squid.
Yeah,
land squid.
What country of origin is this film?
South Korea.
South Korea, because like. The Miyazaki films are. There's a lot of environmental issues in films about littering and that kind of thing. What we've done to our environment.
Princess Mononoke was like banging you over the head, like, "Oh no, the forest is dying!"
Right, and then the other one, Spirited Away, that had a lot. Yeah. Remember the spirit creature that had too much polluting in its spirit of the lake or whatever. So yeah, they kind of do that.
So back to the Incredible Hulk thing. I just wanted to mention for our friends out there, if especially like Jim Lewis, also known as Credo, who does a lot of stuff with sound. If you take the Lonely Man theme from the Hulk and you overlay James Blunt's Beautiful, it is dead on. I'm telling you, he ripped that song off from the Lonely Man.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry. Well, just yeah. Ba-na-na-na.
You're beautiful. Yeah, no, just, God, I hate that song so much.
It is exactly the same. That
a homosexual area.
I am 100% serious, people. The song's identical. I think James Blunt ripped it off.
That it's possible.
Unoriginal bastard.
To put it bluntly, he ripped it off.
You deserve to choke on that one.
Oh, my God!
If you loved Land of the Giants, here is the collection for you. It is the Giant Collection.
Oh, at least they were clever about it.
Yes, it comes in
That's
this
a great
box
thing.
With all like these figures and junk. You know, it's your typical super-duper special edition complete series and has postcards and keychains and booklets and
nerd alert.
Yeah, I was never a fan, but just the fact that this gigantic box of the entire series that cost $199.
I want to kiss you.
Okay, well, I guess he's a fan.
He's really flaming.
This one is probably the DVD of the week.
Okay.
The most important release, and it probably has a lot to do with why Universal is releasing all these classic monster movies, you know, Dracula, The Mummy, Frankenstein, all these. It's The Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah!
I find that so hard to believe.
The movie that people have been screaming about to be on DVD for 10 years now, since DVD came out.
The Wolfman Has Nards.
The Wolfman Has Nards! So we get the Monster Squad on a 2-disc 20th anniversary edition. It's been completely remastered.
Does it have a Fred Decker commentary?
Yeah, it does.
Sweet!
Hello, Frisco!
Yeah, I'm totally gay all over that.
It's got commentaries. It's even got a commentary with some of the kids.
Oh, really?
The movie. Yeah.
All grown up? What about, wasn't Shane Black, didn't he co-create
you know what,
this?
He wrote it originally, and then somebody took it and rewrote it, so he's kind of distanced himself from it. He's not involved with the DVD release, but kudos to Lionsgate for getting this out for us with a remastered picture, remastered 5.1 Dolby Digital Sound.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear a Fred Decker commentary. I also, I've always... Night of the Creeps remastered DVD.
I'd love to see that.
Screaming like banshees.
I want a Fright Night remastered.
Fright Night.
Chris Sarandon rocks.
Oh, Brewster.
Nomad, that movie that was made in
Silky Dirt, dude.
Called Nomad the Warrior. That comes out from the Weinstein Company this week.
Nomad the Warrior.
Yes. It's kind of like it's a multi-million dollar film. Like the government of Kazakhstan like threw a ton of money into this thing to put
when,
their
when was it made?
It was made like 2 years ago or a year or so ago.
Nomad the Warrior.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Oh wait, here's a clip from it.
Tutu Machente?
Haku Machente!
Yeah, Nomad the Warrior. I'm so there.
Let's wrap up the number 23 unrated edition. If you like the R-rated piece of shit.
Didn't we do that last week?
No, this is the unrated edition.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Last week I bought the regular version. Rip off. Double dip.
I want to see Joel Schumacher's True Vision.
Yes.
I've heard this movie. I have no idea what it's about. It's called Perfume, the Story of a Murderer.
Bitch, I'm going to punch your ass in your face.
I know it's got Alan Rickman and John Hurt in it, so hey, that's got to be good.
Perfume, the movie?
Yeah, it's a Tom Twyker film, the guy that did Run, Lola, Run.
Or Parfum, the movie.
No, it's Perfume.
Eau de Toilette.
Yeah. Eau de Toilette, the movie. Renaissance, which is a French animated film.
Sequel.
It's got Ian Holm voicing, Catherine McCormick, Daniel Craig, Jonathan Pryce. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to renting it and checking it out.
Awesome.
I'd spit in his face.
If you like the show Weeds, season 2 is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. I haven't watched it, but I just bought the first season because I want to get into it. I've heard it's really good. And last DVD of the week, Zodiac, the widescreen and full screen editions of the David Fincher film with Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Jake Gyllenhaal, Anthony Edwards.
Marijuana is not a drug.
About the Zodiac killer.
Oh, those back on the Weeds.
I really don't think the Zodiac killer sucked dick for coke.
Hey, so little is known about the guy.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe he did.
Hey, was that a good movie? You know, because I don't trust people who love David Fincher. I just want to know, was the movie good?
I watched it about 2 weeks ago. I downloaded the rip of it. But
you said it right there.
I would give it 2.5 to 3 stars. It's intriguing, especially the beginning, like with all the murders. Slows down in the middle during the investigation, and then Fincher picks it back up with a lot of tension near the end. But overall, it's kind of just
mediocre.
It's mediocre. It really is mediocre. I'm actually looking forward to, I think in November, they're releasing a director's cut of Zodiac in like a special edition. So maybe the director's cut will be better. Maybe the studio made it, you know, cut it down. Maybe a longer version, or maybe it may be shorter. Who knows?
Okay.
But I always enjoyed the book, and the movie's pretty faithful to the book. But
holy shit! Where's the title?
All right, Bill. Any more DVDs this week?
That's it. Zodiac Z, A to Z. We're done.
All right. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing the dividends this week. Huh?
What?
I've been drinking during the show, guys.
I knew it. You alky.
Yes.
You got some bum wine, don't you?
Yeah.
Drinking some
Thank
Cisco.
You. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Everybody, that was episode 85 of Nowhere I'm All Merry. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to send us a voicemail, call 1206-202-3491. Send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, go to nowhereandmulberry.com. There you can find links to Mulberry Old School and all of our other shows. Not to mention a link to our forum located on the Hollywood Saloon. There you could join the forum and have a chat with us. There's two threads there, Bill, or should I say Steven. Ask the J-Strom anything you want. Ask Mulberry Bill anything you want. We need to ask Steven anything you want over there. So check it out, Steven.
I need to join the forum.
Yes, you do.
I know I suck.
Hey, that's the way it goes. But thank you for listening.
The hard part is recognizing that you suck. So
it wasn't hard at all.
Oh, but anyway, hey, it's a great show, right? Next week, we're going to talk Who Wants to Be a Superhero. We're definitely going to talk The Corries. Great reality shows coming up.
When is The Corries coming on?
The Corries premieres on the 29th, I believe. Is that right, Bill? Something like that. We'll check it out later and see. We'll make sure. Shut up, Yoda.
Yoda loves rape, by the way.
Yes, he does. All right, everybody, that's the show. See you next week. Have a good one. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Could knock his ass out.
Now this is podcasting.